Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Glad to be here, 10 o'clock at night. It is Monday night, June 10th, 2019, and I'm glad to be here. I almost missed my show again. It's a matter of just getting used to doing them again. And so I'm planning on doing that. I'm going to set up some more shows and for Monday nights. This seems to work best for me on Monday nights. And yeah, I hope everybody's well, and I appreciate everybody who's tuning into my shows. Hopefully you're getting something out of these. I know it's helpful for me just looking at this information that we're looking at, especially this work to do with boundary issues. It's something that I'm still working on. I've definitely gotten better with my boundary issues, but I still have a lot of work to do, actually. And but I know what I will allow and what I won't allow, and that's important, right? We have to look after ourselves, you know, especially, you know, we don't want to be re-victimized. If you're a survivor of abuse, you know, whether it's child abuse or whatever, any type of abuse, really, you know, you don't want to be re-victimized. And that's, you know, we have to look out for ourselves to make sure that as adults, you know, we're not allowing people to mistreat us or to abuse us in any way, because it's not right. It never was right, never was okay. And so, you know, that's why I do these shows, because I don't mind speaking out against this stuff. It's really unpopular. It's a very unpopular thing to do. But I don't care. You know, I'm not out here to win friends and make friends and win people's approval. I really don't care. I'm here to make some noise about an issue that is so incredibly important, and yet society just shoves under the carpet because they don't want to hear about it. It's like, oh, can't you just get over it? Can't you just move on? Can't you just shut up? You know, and it's like, no, I really can't. I'm going to keep on, you know, hopefully until I leave this earth, you know, at some point. I'm just going to keep making noise, whether it's speaking or writing or whatever I'm doing. Because it's just, this is not okay what happened to us. Not okay what happened to me. And I don't have to ever say that it was okay that my parents abused me, or that my brother raped me, or, you know, that I'm made barren because of CSA, child sexual abuse. I don't have to be okay with that. That's not something that I have to be okay with. That's not something that I have to pretend is just fine, you know. And so abuse is wrong. And I'm here to make some noise about it. I don't care who likes it and who doesn't, you know. I really don't. That's just how I feel about it. So if you're a survivor of abuse, you know, you make sure that you do not allow yourself to be mistreated and abused as an adult. You know, you've got to make sure that you've got boundaries in place. You've got things set up, and that you know what you will accept and what you won't accept. And that's this article that we're looking at kind of right here. Especially tonight, this section tonight's quite interesting. I was just looking through it. This is information from Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. That's HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org. they have some great information there on their website, Information for Survivors. You can look under those tabs. And we're looking at personal boundaries. And the section that I want to look at here that they've written about is called Choices. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. But if you're a survivor of abuse and you're not sure if, you know, if you're going to be triggered by this information, or, you know, it might send you kind of backwards on your healing journey, you know, you want to make sure you're safe enough to listen to this or anything like this. You know, if you're not sure if you're safe enough, you know, you have to do a safety check. And if you're not sure how to do a safety check or what that's all about, you can get that information on HAVOCA as well as ASCA, the Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, the Survivor to Thriver Manual. And I'm a volunteer with the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program. I'm also the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And there's information on all of those websites about safety for survivors of abuse. If you're just starting your healing journey, you want to be very careful what you're listening to and what you're, you know, what you're getting involved with when you're first starting your healing journey, because this stuff can be quite, you know, it's kind of distressing for people who may be experiencing PTSD or anything else, you know, that might cause you to sort of go backward in your healing journey and have you cause you to maybe injure yourself, self-injure, or hurt somebody else or whatever. So you have to make that decision for yourself, because I can't make that decision for you. You have to know how to make that decision for yourself. So if you're not sure, you just turn this show off, and anything like it that you're listening to, get that information. It's a Survivor to Thriver workbook. I'd get that one, because that has a great section in there about the actual safety first information. It's actually one of the first chapters, I think, and it's called Safety First. Make sure you get that info. If you're not sure, just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And if you're anybody else listening, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, this show is appropriate for you. Only you can make that decision for yourself. If it's not, turn it off. And minors should definitely have some sort of parental or adult you know, permission to listen to any of my material, really. I'm talking about adult issues and you know, as much as this is all about child abuse and the after effects of child abuse, mainly, that's what I'm talking about here. You still need to be protected. All children deserve to be protected at all times. So, and young people. So if you're someone under the age of 18, you know, you make sure that you have somebody listen to this show first, or my shows, just see if it's okay for you to be listening age appropriately. So we'll get into this. This is Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org, Information for Survivors under their Personal Boundaries tab, with the little category listed as Choices. This is interesting information here, so I'm just going to read what they've written and we'll just talk about it. Setting a boundary is not making a threat, they said. It is communicating clearly what the consequences will be if the other person continues to treat us in an unacceptable manner. It is a consequence of the other person's behavior. So setting boundaries are not making threats. Just because I set a boundary, it's not making a threat. It's just communicating clearly what I'm going to allow, what I'm not going to allow from somebody else as far as how I'm going to allow somebody to treat me. You know, whether it's acceptable or unacceptable. It's not a threat. It's just a clear boundary definition to say, if you cross this line, I'm going to consider it an offense, you know, or unacceptable behavior. And at that point, you know, I could either make it whatever I've decided the consequences are or the choices may be. That's what we have to set up for ourselves. So that they said it's a consequence of the other person's behavior, really, that is the issue. So setting a boundary is not an attempt to control the other person, although some of the people who you set boundaries with will certainly accuse you of that, just as some will interpret it as a threat. Well, of course, because we're in a sick world. This is really a sick place. There's a lot of sick people out there that are not seeking help, don't want help, and actually don't have any they're just absolutely not going to ever try to get help for their own bad behavior. So, and this is a fact. I mean, I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it with other people. I've seen it. We're in a very sick and twisted world. Anybody who doesn't know that just has to open up your eyes and just take a look around. It's terrible what people are thinking is okay to get away with, right? It's because they're not being held accountable. Right. And that's what pisses me off. My parents were not held accountable. They were not accountable for their behavior. They, you know, neither was my brother, who sexually abuse me. But the issue is they never took accountability for it. They never, ever even apologized for it. They didn't think they needed to apologize for it because they thought that that's just how you treat people. That's how you treat your children. And for my brother, that's what you do to your 8-year-old sister, you know. You just rape her and cause her to be barren and, you know, all kinds of scars and horrible situation for her whole life. And, you know, you just mess her life up. And my parents didn't mind that either. They just abused all their children. And they thought that was fine. See, a lot of people think this stuff is okay. Well, it's not. And so you have to, you know, we have to set these boundaries. And if somebody's conceiving the fact that I'm setting a healthy boundary for myself, if they think that is a threat, or if they think that that's just a way for me to control them, then they have problems they need to work. They need help. They either need to do self-help, or they need to get a counselor, or they need a therapist because they've obviously got problems. If that's how they perceive it, most people should think, well, that's good. You should set some boundaries. You should set acceptable boundaries because I do. And we all should, right? So they said it's a part of the process of defining ourselves and what's acceptable to us. It's a major step in taking what control we can of how we allow others to treat us. It is a vital step in taking responsibility for ourselves and our life. So setting boundaries is not a more sophisticated way of manipulation, although some people will say they are setting boundaries when in fact they are attempting to manipulate. The difference between setting a boundary in a healthy way and manipulating is when we set a boundary, we let go of the outcome. So we're not trying to control anything. We're not trying to control anybody. We're just saying, this is what I'm going to allow. This is what I'm not going to allow. Because it's kind of like, just for instance, here's something that, you know, just for instance, in my life, I treat people with dignity and respect. Always. In any situation. Even if they're like yelling at me and cursing at me and treating me like crap, you know, even like in a work situation or a friend situation, to a point, you know, and it's kind of like, look, if your behavior is not going to change and you're going to continue to, you know, in a work situation, sometimes it's just customer service type stuff. And that you just kind of have to let that roll off. But we're talking about the way that we let a manager treat us, a boss or a manager. And a lot of times it comes down to where, like, if you want to keep your job, you're going to have to put up with their abuse. And abuse is exactly what it is. They would not call it abuse. They would just call it their, you know, their management style, or, you know, you just deserve that because you're a terrible employee or something. You know, it's like, no, we don't live back in like the 1800s with the slavery days. You know what I mean? There's rights. We have rights. Workers have rights. And we don't have to tolerate abuse from anybody. Right? If there's no witnesses, sometimes you have to leave, right? If there's no way to prove something, then you just have to go. Or just sit there and take it and allow yourself to be mistreated, ill-treated by somebody who is sick, right? So this is a serious issue, and a lot of people, you know, even outside of marriages and family situations, this can go on in the workplace. It can go on in friendships. A lot of times, you know, friends can even be abusive. People are just that way. If they think they can manipulate you or get you to sort of, I don't know, if they want to control the situation, they, you know, quite often abuse, that's what abuse is. It's just a way to control. So if they think that they have you because you're too weak and you'll never ever, you know, tell them to straighten up, or you'll you know, boot them out of your life, or, you know, you'll move on or whatever, they'll just keep doing it. And a lot of times, even if you do leave, they just keep doing it anyway, but that's because they're sick. Like I'm saying, there are a lot of people out there. People don't want to admit this, but all you have to do is just take a look around. There's a lot of our society that need to do some self-work on themselves, whether it's, you know, self-help, or whether it's, you know, counselor, therapist, or whatever, because they've got problems. They take these problems out on everybody around them, right? It's just, it's not okay. So they go on to say here, they say, we want the other person to change their behavior. So we hope they will. But we need to own all of our choices in order to empower ourselves to take responsibility for our lives and stop setting ourselves up to be a victim. I like this part of this article. This is really good, because that's just so true. And that's exactly what I've done. I'm still working on it. I haven't all got it all figured out. You know what I mean? I'm still working on it. I think I'll always be working on it. But the issue is at least I know what I will allow, what I won't allow. And I stand by that because I treat people with dignity and respect. That's what I want given back to me. And it doesn't mean I need to be treated with kid gloves or pampered or anything like that, because I was never pampered as a child, so I've never don't expect it now. And I basically just want to be treated as I would treat somebody else, with common, just common, everyday, normal human dignity and respect, right? And I want that back. And if I don't get it, I definitely, if it doesn't look like it's good, the situation's going to be able to be changed, I move on. Because life is too short, man. It really is way too short to be just allowing somebody to just mistreat us. And I don't care if it's for, whatever, a job or a friendship. I've removed myself from so many situations. And the issue is the fact, it's the fact that why people think they should be allowed to stomp all over a person is beyond me, but they do. And it's kind of like a certain type of person will look for somebody like that and latch onto them, because it makes them feel better, because they see you as a weaker person and somebody that they can mistreat and misuse or whatever and take advantage of, and then they feel better about themselves. So they're the ones actually with the real problem. But the issue is that now the problem's yours, because they've made it yours, and really do. They make you feel like it's your responsibility and that it's your fault. That's what my parents did. All the abuse was all their children's fault, and they would never take responsibility for any of it. But abusers usually don't, right? But it's the same with bosses. It's the same with, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, partners, any kind of a friendship, any kind of relationship really can be twisted like this. And so I really, it's so important. I like what they have to say here. We have to be willing to take responsibility for that, right? To take responsibility for these choices, for our lives, and stop setting ourselves up to be a victim. Because it's a horrible situation. I mean, being victimized as children, being abused as children, and then going on to be victimized as an adult again and again and again and again is just ridiculous. And that's something that I was determined that I wasn't going to be a victim as an adult in this situation. I was like, there's no way. I'll treat people, with respect and dignity, and I want the same back. I want the same treatment back. And so it doesn't always work that way, and it hardly ever does, actually, because there are a lot of people out there that are very, like I said, they're sick. I mean, I'm talking sick, like mentally ill. They're not sick like they have a cold. These people are mentally unwell, emotionally unwell, psychologically unwell. And they need help, but they're not going to get help because they don't think they need help. They think they're great because they're stepping all over everybody else around them, because they're in positions where they're able to do that. And that's wrong. And so, like I said, if there's witnesses around, a person can actually, you can really kind of do something about it, or if you have proof, right? If you don't have proof and there's no witnesses around, you're kind of stuck. Right, you have to either have to make a decision to stay and keep putting up with it if they're not going to change, or get out. Right. So, like they said here, they said one of our choices is to remove ourselves from relationship with the person. So we can leave a marriage, we can end a friendship, we can leave a job. We do not have to have any contact with our family of origin. It's vitally important to own all of our choices. They said if we do not own that we have a choice to leave an abusive relationship, then we are not making a choice to stay in the relationship. So anytime we do not own our choices, we're empowering victimization. We will then blame the other person and or blame ourselves. And it's a vital part of the process of learning to love ourselves and taking responsibility for being a co-creator in our life, to own all of our choices. I really like that, because it's so absolutely true. Like, people say, well, I don't want to be on my own. It's like, or, but I love that person, even though that person hurts me or, is abusing me or whatever somebody would say. But I love them, and I can't leave them. It's like, that's not love. How can you love somebody that hurts you like that? That's not love. It's a sad, sad, sad situation. But you know, people say, well, it kind of is. You know, it's like my mom. My mom was my main abuser. I loved my mom. You know, I actually felt like kind of like I needed to help her out, really, even though I didn't really need to be helping her out at all. But all my siblings had done that for when they were, my brothers especially, when they were around, and you know. It's kind of like I just sort of picked that up from them, and I was also trying to kind of gain her love. But the thing is that I, regardless of whether she loved me, I loved her, right? And so people would say, "How could you love your mom? I mean, look what she did to you. I mean, she didn't treat you right at all." I've had people say that, and I'd be like, "I know, but it's this thing, this mother-child thing. Like, my mom didn't love me, and she didn't bond with me, but I loved my mom. You can't really change that." But what I did do is finally get away from my parents at a late age. I finally decided I was out of their life. I'm like, look, I have definitely had enough of you guys, man. I should have left a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I should have been removed from the home when we had those interventions done. But the thing is, I should have been removed from at birth, you know what I mean? But the issue is, it's sad that we do stay in these situations. That's why now as an older adult, I really don't. Any situation, I don't care whether it's a job, I don't care if it's a friendship or whatever. I'm like, you don't treat me right, and I can't prove the issue, and I can't go above you to get something done, I'm gone. That's just how it is. Because I am so tired of people being abusive. And thinking that it's perfectly okay to be like that and getting away with it. It's just like, you know, no. So it's kind of ridiculous. But there's so much of this going on, right? But I like what they have to say here. If we don't own that we have the choice to leave an abusive relationship of any kind, right, then we're not making a choice to stay in a relationship, because we're not owning the fact that we have the choice to leave. So anytime we don't own our own choices, we're empowering victimization. I think that's kind of interesting. And many times, I mean, survivors, I mean, abuse, people who, you know, especially in a situation where someone's being abused in a relationship, and, you know, there's threats to their lives and their lives are being threatened. And so many times when they do leave, they are killed. So if you're one of these people and you're in a situation where you're in a domestic violence situation that, you know, you think your life is probably on the line, like, you know, that you'll be killed if you try to leave, then you have to set it up. You have to do the right thing and set it up properly first before you do attempt to leave. Because that does happen, you know. Sometimes you have to stay for a while just to save your life, right, which is really, really horrific. But I've seen way too much information out there. You can get information like that from, like, RAIN and the NDAV, the National Domestic Violence Association, and all that. There's all those websites that have all that safety information on, like, what to do if you're in a situation where you're being abused, your life is being threatened, and if you threaten to leave, then your life is being threatened that you'll be killed. You have to be careful because that does happen. But the issue is if you have the opportunity to leave, let's just say, a job, a friendship, and you can end it, and you don't take responsibility for that, and you just allow yourself to be, let's say I just allow myself to be continually abused, all I'm going to do is just, I'm going to be blaming the other person or blaming myself, but I'm not going to change it. I won't, you know, so I'm just going to allow myself to be re-victimized. My mom did that. My mom did that. My mom was abused as a child by her mother. And my grandmother was just horrible, like absolutely horrific, horrible woman that, I don't know what was the matter with her, but she's just really sick and twisted. But anyway, she abused her children and a whole bunch of orphans that lived down the road. This was back in like the 1930s, like way back there in the Depression era. And my grandmother abused these kids as well as all of her children, which is, I mean, my mom was one of, like, the oldest of seven, I guess. Yeah, the oldest of seven. And she had and then there was these little orphans that my grandma took in because there was no room at the orphanage, so they needed somewhere to go, so she took them in because they had a farm, and my grandparents did. But my grandmother abused them as well, and they all ran away. The orphans did. They were like, we're leaving, we have a better chance on the road. So here it is, 1930, 9 or whatever, and these little orphans are taken off down the road because they're just being beaten and abused and just horrific. So my grandmother was this horrible, horrible monster of a woman who totally mistreated her children. And then my mother had no concept of how to love her own children, right? She had no bonding capabilities, no love in her heart for children or her husband. She married my dad, and he was already abusing her before they were even married. I don't even know why she married him, just to get away from her mother, I think, right? And so then she feels like she's stuck in this relationship. I talk all about this on my Born in Hell website, if you wanted to check that out. But she felt like she was stuck, you know. And then she just sat around blaming everybody, blaming her husband, blaming her children, blaming her life, you know. Oh, but she never did anything to change it. They had intervention done. My parents were both brought up on child abuse charges. At that point, my mother was like, well, you know, their father's abusing the children and abusing me, but she didn't own up to the fact that she was abusing us or all the children. And then the older children stepped in and said, no, she was abusing all the children too. So they were both brought up on child abuse charges. But the issue is at that point, the court said, you guys need help, man. You need to get counseling, you need marital counseling, you need your own counseling, because both of my parents were abused as children, right, by these sick people. And so, and then they got married, and their lives were just a mess, right, because they didn't have any clue how to do relationship stuff, just abuse, that's all they knew. They just passed that on to us. Isn't that really nice, that by abusing us, right? And then that's all we knew. It's like, thanks a lot, you know, like, that's just wonderful. So, you know, no accountability, taking no responsibility, right? And that's what I said for myself. At the age of 42, I was like, well, I mean, even before that, when I was, you know, 30 or whatever, when I finally decided that I better try to do something with my adult life and get away from my abuser family for good, you know, I sort of started to take on responsibility there, but I never began my healing journey until I was about 42. And that's when I decided, you know, that's it. I've got to start making these changes. I've got to start learning how to love myself. I have to start taking responsibility for myself as an adult survivor of child abuse. I need help, man. And I need some serious help, but I need help. I need to reach out, you know. And my parents had that opportunity. They blew it off. They wanted to continue that garbage on. And that's what a lot of people will do. But you have to make that decision. Like, I mean, I had to make that decision. What kind of a life do I want to live? What kind of a life am I going to have? And what am I going to allow in my life? And so at the end of the day now that I'm away from the abuse, I'm away from abusers, I don't allow abusive people in my life, period. I don't care whether it's a friend, a boss, or whatever. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I have my integrity. You know, I've got my integrity. I know who I am. I'm a good person. I treat people right. I don't tolerate people mistreating me. And I stand up for what's right. So at the end of the day, I know who I am and what I stand for. And that's important to me, you know, rather than just having somebody around just to have somebody around who's abusive. No thanks. You know, I'd rather be on my own. I'd rather be without a job. I'd rather be on the street. I'd rather be anywhere. You know, like, to me, this is so important. And it's we have to make choices. So, like, they go on to talk about the rest of this. Catch that on their website, havoca.org, H-A-V-O-C-A. That's havoca.org, and it's under their Information for Survivors tab. We'll pick the rest of this up next week. We have about a minute left, but there's quite a bit left of this. So this article is pretty lengthy, so if you want to go check the rest of it out, you can. It's really good. But we'll pick up some more of it next week, and I'm going to schedule another show for Monday and the following Monday. And so you guys, I mean, take care of yourselves. If you're struggling and you don't know who to talk to or what to do, call a crisis line. You do whatever it is you have to do, but you make the right decision. You get yourself some help and call a crisis line if you don't have somebody to talk to, or if you need help and you're struggling, you don't know how you're going to make it through another day or another hour. I've been there, man. I've been there so many times. I've been in such horrible situations where, you know, I didn't think I could take one more breath. I was just going to die. I was just like, I couldn't see how I could keep going. And I'm telling you, make the right decision for yourself. You get yourself some help. And you have to reach out, because nobody will know that they need to reach out to you. So you have to reach out. Take care, everybody. I hope you have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.